This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Analysts are skeptical of Elon Musk's plan to take Tesla private.
This doesn't change my perception or outlook.
This is a ripoff. I'm not selling for $420.
Do I think that this is going to come to fruition? I doubt it.
On trade, the U.S. moves ahead with a second round of tariffs on China.
And the pound slumps amid Brexit concerns.
It's a special Ohio congressional race seen as a gauge heading into the midterms. Plus, more cross-examination today in Paul Manafort's fraud trial. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees get a key win on the road and increase their wild card lead.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Global stocks are mixed this morning as global trade concerns weigh on sentiment. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little change. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures down 1.5. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. CAC in Paris little changed. FTSE 100 up 0.3%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan was down less than 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil is little change, down 2 cents to $69.15 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2%, up $2.10 to $12.2040 an ounce. The euro, $1.1589, and the yen, 110.97. Bob.
We begin with Tesla CEO Elon Musk shocking investors with news that he could take the company private. Word from Musk came yesterday afternoon in the form of a tweet and a blog post that left many questions unanswered. Dana Hull reports from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The fact that he wants to take Tesla private is not a surprise. He's talked about this in previous interviews with us. There's been no SEC filing. We're not sure when there is a board vote. Presumably the board is on board with this, but we haven't heard from any of them. We really don't have anything beyond Elon's tweets and the blog post.
Now, Musk suggested a price of $420 a share to take Tesla private. That would value the company at $82 billion and would amount to the largest leveraged buyout in history.
Wall Street is skeptical of Musk's plans. Dennis Gartman is editor and publisher of the Gartman Letter.
This is not going to happen. I think this is just a game to put the fear of God into the shorts once again, which clearly he did. But do I think that this is going to come to fruition? I doubt it.
Shares of Tesla surged 11% yesterday, but closed around $380, far below the $420 level cited by Musk.
David Kudla, CEO at Mainstay Capital Management, is shorting Tesla and says he will stay with that position.
This doesn't change my perception or outlook, and it hasn't changed my outlook on my short position. In fact, we were in shorting more shares today on the strength in the stock.
Just a week ago, Tesla reported another quarterly loss where it burned through hundreds of millions of dollars.
Still, there are those who think $420 a share is too low for Tesla. Ross Gerber is president and CEO at Gerber Kawasaki and a Tesla shareholder.
I value the company at 571. This is a ripoff. I'm not selling for 420. You know how many companies I can find like Tesla out there? There's none.
The biggest question around Elon Musk's plan is funding. Neither his tweets nor his blog post yesterday made mention of how Tesla would pay to go private.
Let's turn news to news on the global stage now, where we have another escalation in the trade war between the U.S. and China. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
And good morning to you, Bob. The Trump administration says it will begin imposing 25% levies on an additional $16 billion of Chinese imports in 2 weeks. This will be the second time the U.S. slaps tariffs on Chinese goods. Hannah Anderson, global strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, believes it will only get more heated.
Tariffs are a potent political issue in the U.S., and being able to position oneself as strong on China actually may give some politicians in the midterm elections a bit of an advantage.
The U.S. is reviewing 10% levies on a further $200 billion in Chinese imports and is even considering raising the rate to 25%. Meanwhile, China's exports grew faster than expected in July, and imports surged, signaling the trade war has yet to take a toll. China's trade surplus with the U.S. remains near a record high. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. The British pound has weakened to the lowest level against the euro in almost 9 months. The move comes amid growing concern that the U.K. could leave the EU with no deal in place. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with details. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yes, we've got euro sterling sat at 129.03. That's a decline of 0.3% today. You're also seeing a slump in the pound versus the dollar, down by about 0.1%. This appears to be driven by anxiety over a lack of progress with talks rather than any particular political triggers, and the evidence certainly building that investors are starting to price in a messy Brexit. It's also spurring activity in the options market. The spread between risk reversals expiring in 30 days and those that expire in 9 months, which captures the nation's departure date from the EU, is at the widest level now since January. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Sebastian. Checking the pound now, it is trading at $1.2904.
We turn to earnings now. Shares of Glencore are down nearly 2% in London. The world's biggest commodity trader posted record profit while cutting debt, but left investors guessing about what it will do with the extra cash. Glencore failed to increase its dividend or expand its buyback program.
Shares of Snap are up 3% in early trading after second quarter revenue top projections. At the same time, Saudi billionaire Prince Alawi bin Talal says he took a 2.3% stake in Snap with an investment of $250 million.
Shares of Match Group are up 11% in early trading. The parent company of popular online dating platforms posted quarterly earnings and an outlook that beat estimates.
Shares of Disney down 1% after earnings missed estimates due to film write-offs. Summer movies from Disney were among the industry's biggest hits, but the company took a $100 million hit from two unidentified animated projects that were abandoned.
And coming up today, we get earnings results from 13 companies in the S&P 500, including 21st Century Fox. S&P futures virtually unchanged at this hour. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the very latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. In Ohio's special congressional election, Republican Troy Balderson has a narrow lead over Democrat Danny O'Connor. Balderson leads O'Connor 50.2% to 49.3%. The state's 12th congressional district has been ruby red for more than 30 years. No matter who wins this election, they will both have to run against each other in November. Balderson, who has President Trump's backing, spoke to his supporters last night.
Over the next 3 months, I'm going to do everything I can to keep America great again. So that when we come back here in November, get ready, we got to come back here in November. I have earned your vote for a second time.
Meanwhile, O'Connor touted his grassroots campaign.
In our fight, we've rejected corporate PAC money because big money, because we know that big money from big corporations is just one part of the problem with our elections.
President Trump carried Ohio's 12th district in the 2016 race by 11 points. In Michigan, former state lawmaker Rashida Tlaib has won the Democratic nomination to run unopposed for a House seat, setting her up to become the first Muslim woman elected to Congress. Rick Gates, the prosecution star witness in Paul Manafort's fraud trial, admitted that he stole money from his former boss to pay for an extramarital affair, lied to special counsel Robert Mueller, and may have submitted false expenses to President Trump's inaugural committee. Gates faces more cross-examination today in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. It seems Iran and North Korea have forged a stronger bond as they face pressure from the U.S. Bloomberg's Peter Pay has more from Seoul.
North Korea's foreign minister and his Iranian counterpart called for expanded relations between their two countries during a meeting Tuesday in Tehran, the official Islamic Republic news agency reported. The article provided few additional details about their talks, but the pledge for stronger ties highlighted the risks posed by President Donald Trump's pressure campaign on the two countries, including bringing some U.S. rivals closer together. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees beat the White Sox 4-3 in 13 innings on the south side, thanks to Miguel Andujar coming up clutch.
Swung on and line. There is a base hit left field. Didi rounds third. He will score easily. It's a base hit and an RBI for Andujar. Oh, the Duke can do.
Yankees radio, Sonny Gray got the win out of the pen, turning in three scoreless innings of relief. Better news is they increased their lead on both Oakland and Seattle in the wild card race. Yankees will play for the sweep as Luis Severino battles Lucas Giolito at 8:10. Outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury will miss the remainder of the season after undergoing surgery to repair a torn labrum in his hip. He's been on the disabled list since the start of the year and is expected to recover in 6 months. Ellsbury still has 2 years remaining on his $153 million deal. The Mets fell 6-1 at home to the Reds. Long Island native Sal Romano allowed a run on two hits in six-plus innings to help break a three-game skid despite the rain delay. Jason Vargas fell to 2-8 after allowing three runs while recording just one out. Series concludes with day baseball at Citi Field. Jacob deGrom hosts Robert Stevenson. First pitch is at 12:10. PGA Championship, golf's fourth and final major, starts Thursday from St. Louis. Rory McIlroy knows the impact it leaves on one season.
But it's going to be fun. You know, it's nice to play in groups like that, and I guess it focuses you straight away. You know, it's going to be a big atmosphere out there, and I'm looking forward to that.
Bloomberg Radio will be home for PGA play-by-play Thursday and Friday at 4:15. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thank you very much. S&P futures at this hour virtually unchanged. Dow futures adding 6 points. NASDAQ futures down by 3 points. The 10-year yield at 2.9674%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares are slipping following a mixed session in Asia as earnings misses and concern over global trade kept markets in check. The dollar erasing an earlier decline and China's yuan steadying as its central bank was set to seek currency stabilization. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are a little changed. Dow futures up 6, NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.96%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 3 cents to $69.20 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, up $2.30 at $12.20.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1595, and the yen, 110.93. More than a dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today, including CVS Health. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Paul Manafort's former right-hand man, Rick Gates, returns to the witness stand today for more cross-examination. Manafort's lawyer is accusing the government star witness of being immersed in so many lies that he can't remember them all. Manafort is accused of bank and tax fraud. Cybersecurity experts say the midterm elections are at an increasing risk of interference by foreign adversaries led by Russia, and the Trump administration is inadequately defending against the meddling. In baseball, the Yankees won but didn't gain any ground on the Red Sox because Boston also won. The Mets lost. The Nationals split a doubleheader with the Braves. The Orioles, Giants, and A's lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now 5:19 on Wall Street, and we're joined by Karen Cavanaugh, Senior Market Strategist for Voya Investment Management. Good morning and welcome. I don't want to push you into the specifics of the maneuvering yesterday by a very well-known chief executive officer any more than I would ask you to comment directly on a presidential tweet. But Karen, I want to ask your thoughts on the idea of a corporate executive taking to social media, specifically Twitter, and really roiling trading, sowing confusion about company plans. What about that as a way of managing a company?
Well, it's certainly unprecedented, and we haven't seen any other CEOs do that. And it may actually be inappropriate, too. So I think it's going to play out over the next couple of days, and we're going to find out more about it. But it is definitely throwing a monkey wrench into the news this morning, and we are seeing a lot of coverage on it. But we'll find out. We'll find out exactly what's going to happen. But as we know, Elon Musk does things his way, so it should be interesting.
Okay, and let's move along to the trade duty question today. Once again, stocks are mixed amid new trade duty questions. Let's talk about that and your concerns.
Well, the investors are definitely confronted with a lot of negative stumbling blocks. The trade tariffs and the potential trade war are paramount, but we also are dealing with oil prices and a stronger dollar, potential Fed action, and now sanctions with Iran. So there's definitely some negative things out there, but I think that there's also some very positive things. The biggest is the economic growth we're seeing, deregulation, tax cuts, small businesses that are really flourishing. There's a high level of optimism out there. And so I tell investors they really have to kind of cut through the noise and keep to the ABCs. And that's A is accelerating corporate earnings. B is broadening manufacturing. We're seeing a manufacturing renaissance here in the United States. And C is the consumer. And the consumer continues to be strong. And it's not just consumer confidence, but the jobs market. Yesterday, we saw record high number of job openings. So if you take a look at the ABCs, those are very, very strong. And so even though there are some negative things out there, market is still looking pretty strong, too.
Are you satisfied with the earnings season so far?
It's hard not to be satisfied with 24% earnings growth is what we're anticipating. Last quarter it was 25%, so it's kind of hard to put on a sad face with 24%. When we're seeing double-digit earnings growth, that's telling you something. That's telling you that the economy is continuing to move forward and companies making money. That's a positive for the stock market. So it's hard to put a negative spin on that.
Is this the time to be in equities? What about treasuries, putting your money elsewhere?
Well, equities definitely, because we know that's where the growth is. But the reason you have treasuries is they're your risk control. You want that diversification. You see that the yields are going up, and that drives prices down. But it's the reason to have bonds is for steady income, diversification, and that risk control. So I tell investors that they should be diversified across the spectrum. We've seen small caps are continuing to do well, and that's not just because they're less exposed to trade tariffs, but also because small business is doing well because of less regulation and because of that economic growth and the tax benefits that we're seeing from the tax cuts. So I tell investors, be diversified. Have those small caps, have those mid caps, have those large caps. It's not just the FANG names. Be across the spectrum, but also have those bonds, because those bonds are that risk control in case we do see something escalate with a trade war.
Been a little difficult to predict the dollar lately. It's recovered today. Where do you see the dollar going?
Well, the dollar has gotten stronger, but if you take a look, at, up 2.5% this year, it is stronger, but it's because our economy is doing better and than the rest of the world relatively, and because the Fed is continuing to raise interest rates. So the dollar should be a projection of our economic growth and our interest rates. So I think it could get a little bit stronger, but I think we've already seen a lot of the strength. So that should moderate. And so far, it seems like companies have been able to deal with that, and they're not really guiding down in terms of future earnings for third quarter and fourth quarter. It seems like, in fact, if you take a look at the earnings projections, they've actually gone up for the third quarter, fourth quarter. And 2019 is also continuing to look strong.
Just briefly, does that mean that the U.S. economy is ready for interest rate increases?
Well, I would say that there's not going to be a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, this is still a little uncharted territory because we've had an accommodative Fed for so long. But I think they're realizing that our economic growth is such that a 2.9% 10-year yield is a little bit low. So I don't think that we're really facing down inflation. I think a lot of the inflation is already priced in. But the fact that we're still continuing to see stronger economic growth, that warrants a little bit of higher interest rates. And higher interest rates, higher growth, that's a good thing.
Karen Cavanaugh, Senior Market Strategist for Voya Investment Management. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. S&P futures barely budging this morning. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32. The yield at 2.9674%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by BNB Bank, from Montauk to Manhattan, partnering your business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank, many success stories, one bank, bnbbank.com.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stock futures, little change this hour as trade tensions stay in focus. The U.S. says it will begin imposing 25% duties on an additional $16 billion of Chinese imports in 2 weeks. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Shanghai.
The latest round of U.S. tariffs will target 279 Chinese product lines, ranging from motorcycles to turbines. China has said it will retaliate with its own round of tariffs on $16 billion of U.S. goods. As yet, there are no plans for official talks between the two sides. Here in China, officials and business leaders appear to be steeling themselves for a long, drawn-out trade battle. In Shanghai, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Meantime, China's exports grew faster than expected in July, and imports surged, signaling the trade war has yet to take a toll.
Tesla shares down 1% in early trading following yesterday's 11% gain. CEO Elon Musk took to Twitter yesterday saying he could take the electric car company private at an $82 billion valuation. Tigress Financial Chief Investment Officer Ivan Feinseth says the move doesn't make sense for Tesla.
It doesn't make sense because he's in a growth stage. He's not in a mature stage. He needs the public markets for financing. I mean, it would be easier to raise financing in both equity and debt for him if he's a public company.
At that $82 billion valuation, it would be the largest leveraged buyout in history.
Shares of Walt Disney are down 1% in early trading. Earnings missed estimates due to film write-offs.
Shares of Snap are up almost 3%. Sales topped estimates, and Saudi billionaire Prince Alawid bin Talal acquired a 2.3% stake in the social media company.
Match shares up more than 11%. The parent company of popular online dating platforms posted quarterly earnings and an outlook that beat estimates.
In Europe, shares of Glencore down more than 1%. The world's top commodity trader reported first-half adjusted EBITDA below estimates.
Shares of Denmark's Novo Nordisk are down 5%. The world's biggest maker of diabetes drugs expects changes in the U.S. Medicare program and weakness in the insulin market to push down drug prices.
Futures this morning are down a point. Dow futures down 3. NASDAQ futures down 4. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 5 cents to $69.22 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $1.80 to $12.20 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Looking for hints into the midterm elections. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump's candidate is clinging to the lead in a special congressional election for an Ohio House district Republicans have dominated since 1982. With all precincts reporting, Troy Balderson leads Democrat Danny O'Connor 50.2% to 49.3%. Both men will face each other again in the fall. Balderson thanked his biggest supporter, President Trump, who tweeted that he had won.
America is on the right path, and we're going to keep it going that way.
Yeah! O'Connor, who has not conceded, spoke to his supporters.
We keep fighting through to November. Let's go out there. Let's get it done. Let's change this country.
Former Michigan state lawmaker Rashida Tlaib has won the Democratic nomination to run unopposed for a House seat, setting her up to become the first Muslim woman elected to Congress. Paul Manafort's former business partner Rick Gates will be on the witness stand again today in the fraud trial of the former Trump campaign chief. Gates will take the stand for a third day in a row to testify against Manafort. In court, Gates admitted to hiding millions of dollars in more than a dozen offshore accounts for Manafort. Even before the Manafort tax and bank fraud trial is over, it has already had some fallout. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports.
The Virginia-based accounting firm Kositska Wicks and Company has fired Manafort's former accountant, Cindy Laporta. That's after she testified that she knew the former Trump campaign chairman's tax returns were falsified, but she went along with the scam because she was afraid Manafort and his right-hand man, Rick Gates, would sue. In a statement, the firm says it was shocked by Laporta's testimony. It's now doing an independent internal review to confirm her activity was isolated to Manafort. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
President Trump said he would make an announcement next week that would bring down prescription drug prices, quote, really, really substantially. Trump spoke to reporters at the beginning of a dinner last night with corporate leaders at his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey. The death toll has climbed to 131 from the recent earthquake on the Indonesian island of Lombok. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, Mr. Barr. It is now 5:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Yankees outlasted the White Sox in 13 innings, 4-3 on the road. Sonny Gray with one of his best pitching performances of the year, turning in three scoreless innings of relief to earn the win. Skipper Aaron Boone.
When you face adversity and tough times in this game, you know, and then get thrown right into the fire in a tough spot and deliver, it's not an easy thing to do. And so just proud of the effort there and proud of him coming in and playing a huge role, obviously.
New York increased their lead on both the A's and Mariners in the wild card. New York plays for the sweep tonight when Lucas Giolito hosts Luis Severino at 8:10. Yankees outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury had surgery to repair a torn labrum. He'll miss the remainder of the season. The 34-year-old has been on the DL all year and has 2 years remaining on that 7-year contract. Mets were shut down 6-1 by the Reds at Citi Field in a rain-delayed game. Jason Vargas recorded just one out, falling to 2-8. They'll have a matinee at 12:10. Jacob deGrom on the mound for New York. Golf's fourth and final major, the PGA Championship, begins Thursday in St. Louis. Tiger Woods after an elusive title.
Just for me to be able to have this opportunity again is a dream come true. You know, I've said this many times this year. I didn't know if I could do this again, and lo and behold, here I am. So just coming back, able to play at this level and compete. I've had my share of chances to win this year as well. Hopefully I'll get it done this week.
Woods hasn't won a major since 2008. Bloomberg Radio is your home for PGA play-by-play Thursday and Friday beginning at 4:15. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob.
Rob Bushka, thank you very much. Now 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on hotel rewards and why they're a major sticking point in the biggest hospitality merger in history. Also in this week's issue, the war that's brewing between Papa John's and its founder, John Schnatter. Susan Burfield wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
He wants to believe that, you know, the company is still his and he does own a third of it, and that he's really the only one who can fix the problems, whatever they may be.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Hi, Bob. Newark, New Jersey is expected to approve as much as $1 billion in tax breaks today. Part of a $7 billion package, the state is offering Amazon to capture its second headquarters. Ordinance up for adoption at a council meeting would give the payroll tax exemptions to any company that creates 30,000 jobs and invests $3 billion in Newark over the next 20 years. New tariffs imposed this spring on steel and aluminum imports are making it tougher to produce the walls and windows found in apartment buildings, making them more expensive. New York City buyers and renters could feel the pinch, according to contractors and others who talked with the New York Times. A top Republican state senator is asking a court to stop Governor Daniel Malloy's $10 million study to explore placing tolls on Connecticut highways. State Senator Joe Markley says while the Bond Commission has the ability to borrow money, lawmakers have to authorize it first. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thank you. It's now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Papa John's founder John Schnatter came out swinging after an earnings miss for the chain.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Tesla stock with Elon Musk's aggressive plan to take the company private.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following talks between Barclays and activist investor Sherbourne.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford is launching a new SUV targeting emerging cities in China.
Thank you all. And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Samsung plans to invest $161 billion to ramp up its ability to produce memory chips and other products vital to future growth. South Korea's biggest conglomerates will boost R&D spending in a number of areas, including artificial intelligence, wireless networks, and biopharmaceuticals. S&P futures at this hour down a single point. Dow futures down by 5 points. NASDAQ futures have shaved off 3 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 2/32 now. The yield at 2.9656%. Oil has stabilized this morning. WTI and Brent crude both virtually unchanged. WTI 69.22 a barrel. Brent crude 74.72. It's 24/7 news from Bloomberg's 2,700 journalists and analysts across 120 countries, streaming live on Twitter. Follow us at TikTok. That's TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European shares are slipping following a mixed session in Asia as earnings misses and concern over global trade keeps markets in check. The dollar erasing an earlier decline in China's yuan steadying as its central bank was said to seek currency stabilization. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about a point. Dow futures down 3. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 3 cents to $69.20 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.60 to $12.19.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1596, and the yen, 110.92. More than a dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include CVS Health. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he turned the tide for Republican Troy Balderson in Ohio's special congressional election. Trump tweeted congratulations to Balderson, even though the race officially has not been called. Balderson has a slim lead over Democrat Danny O'Connor in the special election in the state's 12th congressional district, 50.2% to 49.3%. Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley has won the Republican nomination in one of the nation's most hotly contested Senate races. Hawley will face a vulnerable Democrat and Senator Claire McCaskill in the fall. In baseball, the Yankees won and increased their lead in the wild card race. The Mets lost. The Red Sox won in 10 innings. The Nationals split a doubleheader with the Braves. The Orioles, Giants, and A's lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street. And as we've been reporting, Elon Musk, the CEO and chairman of Tesla, shocked investors yesterday with news that he could take the company private for $420 a share. That would value the company at $82 billion and amount to the largest leverage buyout in history. Let's get more on these developments now from Bloomberg opinion columnist Alex Webb, who joins us from our London bureau. Alex, good morning. Welcome. Judging by what we've been hearing from analysts and shareholders, there are some real sticking points to getting this done if Musk is serious about it. Yesterday, Tesla shares rose around 11%. This morning, they're down almost 1%. So do we now read investors as skeptical?
I think even from the initial reaction, there was a certain amount of skepticism. The shares, even as they peaked yesterday, were still well below the $420 price that Elon had mooted. They were, I think they peaked at about $379. Some of those gains you can probably attribute to skittish short investors trying to get out of the stock. Clearly, there is a certain amount of optimism as well. Someone's got to be buying that stuff. But there does remain a lot of skepticism that he can plug that sort of $50 billion gap.
This was an interesting way that he chose to sort of signal his plans, if they are indeed plans, going on social media.
Yeah, it begs even more questions, doesn't it? There's huge befuddlement over to what extent this is even permissible. The SEC has issued guidance on the what you have to do if you're going to make material announcements on social media, and you have to sort of telegraph it to the market that you intend to make an announcement on these platforms. And it doesn't seem, it's unclear whether he jumped through those hoops effectively. They do have some vocabulary in their 10K, in which it says that they will make announcements via social media. I'm not sure if this entirely covers it. He did give himself some wiggle room. He said we're considering it. He didn't say it's definitely going to happen, but there's certainly going to be a bunch of people at the SEC scratching their heads when they get into the office today to see if they need to take further action.
Was he just trying to stick it to the shorts?
That does remain a big question. You know, he had said, I think a month or two ago, that there's huge news coming up which will kill all the shorts. I wonder whether this was it. The thing that is puzzling, though, there's been some reporting from the FT saying that the Tesla's favorite investment banks knew nothing about this. This is not on their radar. So if it had been in the works for a couple of months, one might imagine they might have been in the loop. It cynically has hurt some shorts. It equally, in some ways, I wouldn't be surprised if you see more short interest in Tesla. Of course, it's gained even further, so there's more to benefit from going down. And there is kind of a ceiling now to how much they could lose. If this deal is going to go ahead and it's going to be at $420, well, that means the most they can lose is 10%. If it doesn't happen, then one anticipates the stock would tumble. So they've got a huge amount of upside in the form of $375 or whatever the valuation is right now. So it's sort of a mixed message for short investors.
Well, let us take Mr. Musk at his word here and suggest that this is his plan. If he did take Tesla private, would that silence Tesla's critics?
It wouldn't silence them, but it would probably mean they have less volume. Ultimately, if people are willing to invest in Tesla when they're not publishing quarterly numbers, that's entirely their prerogative. It's harder to short a company if it's not publicly traded. You can still have questions about it operationally, and they still have debt. They still have people to whom they owe significant amounts of money, and they're not completely bereft of any public oversight, but it would go a long way to ensuring that they don't have to worry about the more short-term targets, clearly quarterly numbers, for instance.
Briefly, last question here. I wonder when you can sort of turn a company on its head with a few tweeted words, does that suggest that Tesla should be private at this point?
I think that does speak. That speaks very much to the issue with Tesla is its volatility. And Elon was complaining about the volatility in the blog post, which was also the email that he had sent to Tesla employees. Well, he is the generator of much of that volatility. It's all very well passing the buck onto investors, but they are reactive to what the company does or doesn't do. And Elon's propensity to take to social media is a huge risk for investors, clearly.
Bloomberg opinion columnist Alex Webb joining us from our London bureau. Thank you very much.
It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham faces long odds in an extortion lawsuit. Attorneys tell Bloomberg Law litigation privilege protects statements in demand letter emails about wild parties and alleged use of prostitutes. The Army Corps of Engineers says waterways used to transport goods and people remain under federal authority, clarifying where states and tribes have the power to approve dredging permits. And the Department of Defense will now conduct security clearances for all federal agencies. The move is aimed at the backlog of 700,000 people waiting for clearance.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at the latest in the tax and bank fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, where Rick Gates testified that he helped Manafort break the law. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Jim Grasso speaks with Jeffrey Kramer, managing director of the Berkeley Research Group.
Jeff, whenever there's a witness who's cooperating, you hear people ask, but will the jury believe someone who admits to committing crimes? So what steps is the prosecution taking here to make sure the jurors believe Gates?
You're exactly right. I mean, that is always the question. But, that's the standard prosecutorial playbook. You know, this flipper is testifying right now in hundreds of cases in the U.S. And you have to corroborate that witness. And that's what they're doing here. And that can be done, you know, in the organized crime context, usually corroboration with tapes or other witnesses. In fraud cases like this, usually there's corroboration, if not from other witnesses, in documents. And that's what we have here. So in Mr. Gates says we set up 14 or 15 overseas companies to facilitate the payments, and the prosecutors have documents showing 14 or 15 companies were set up overseas. Well, that corroborates Mr. Gates.
Gates did testify that he lied in a deposition in a civil case against Manafort. Is that going to create a problem for his credibility? You lied once. What are you lying now?
It's definitely fodder on cross-examination. There's ample things, not only that Mr. Gates has lied before, but it turns out he was taking money from Mr. Manafort, unbeknownst to Mr. Manafort. But again, that's hardly, you know, a man-bites-dog story. There's a guy in the stand who was committing crimes with Mr. Manafort with respect to fraud. The fact that he's a fraudster and a liar is not shocking. Jury's not going to like Mr. Gates. They're not going to trust him with their last dollar or their investment portfolio. But will they believe him? I think once he's corroborated by the documents and other witnesses, and just the logic that it's doubtful Mr. Gates would be the mastermind of a $20 or $30 million scheme in order to benefit Mr. Manafort, you know, that's a hard lift for the defense.
That's Berkeley Research Group Managing Director Jeffrey Kramer speaking with Bloomberg's Jim Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures up 4, NASDAQ futures down 2. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield 2.96%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 14 cents at $69.32 a barrel. The euro at $1.1598. The British pound $1.2906. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.